Greetings this morning in the name of the one who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us to be kings and priests unto God and the Father by him. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Glad to be with you again. Thank you for praying for us while we were in Romania. And it's good to see familiar faces here again and to join you in worship. Appreciate what Brother Roger shared here this morning. A lot of the thoughts that he shared, introduced, maybe we can expand on here in the message. I'd like to take the communion message this morning from Matthew chapter 26, beginning at verse 26, and read through verse 29. It's a special time, a special day, when we can get together for this special purpose of commemorating the death and suffering of our Savior, the redemption of the human race. All right, Matthew 26, 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Now, the greatest event that was commemorated under the Old Testament, under the Jewish dispensation, was the redemption of the people of Egypt out from under the bondage of Pharaoh and Egypt. And so that which we're going to commemorate here this morning is an infinitely greater redemption than what the children of Israel experienced there when they were delivered out of Egypt. The redemption that we are celebrating this morning or commemorating is redemption from all the miseries and the death of hell. Now, when the rich man opened his eyes and he was in hell, the Bible says that he cried out for mercy. He said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me." And he said, "I'm in torment." And he said, "If I could just have one drop of water on my tongue to cool my burning, flaming tongue." But the Bible says it was not given him. And you know, that is the future of the human race without Jesus. It is our future without Jesus. Without the redeeming blood, the power of the blood for cleansing from sin, we would all find ourselves where the rich man found himself, in the torments of hell. And unless we can get a vision of that, it will be hard for us to thank God today for the power of the blood and for his redeeming work through Jesus Christ for us. Unless we can get a vision of what we are being redeemed from and the deliverance that we can experience from the bondage of Satan and the hold of sin on our lives and the deliverance from that and the privilege to walk with Jesus and to identify with him as our Lord and Savior. Passover lamb back in the Old Testament was only a type of the true sacrifice which Christ has made on our behalf. and the deliverance of the Jewish firstborn from the sword of the destroying angel was only a picture. It was made possible by the applying of the blood of the Paschal Lamb on the lintels and the doorposts of their houses as it was applied. And the deliverance that we experience this morning through the blood of Jesus Christ, you know, God's only Son that was shed for us and has been sprinkled on us spiritually. And so, in remembrance of that great day of deliverance in the Old Testament, and this is the most often repeated account historically that happened in the Old Testament, is the deliverance from Egypt and the passing through the Red Sea is mentioned more times in the Old Testament or throughout the Bible than any other event, because it was a tremendous event with tremendous significance. And so when that ceremony was instituted by God there in the 12th chapter of Exodus, it was to be a remembrance of the deliverance from the grip of Satan, or the grip of Pharaoh and their bondage to him under sin. And God gave specific instructions about that. And the people, we think of the application of the blood, but they were also given specific instructions how they were to prepare and how they were to eat the Passover lamb. And so this morning, as we receive the Lord's Supper as it was instituted, we receive the bread and we receive the wine, which represent our memorials of the body and blood of Christ. And there's a significance here that I would like to enlarge on a little bit that somewhat relates back to how the Passover lamb was eaten as well. But we know that that was only a figure, and this is the reality. This is a commemoration of an event, the greatest event that ever happened, that ever took place in the history of man, was the redemption of the human race from the surety of death and hell by the love of God. You know, sometimes people say, well, how can a loving God send anyone to hell? Well, that's exactly right. And God has made provision that we don't have to go there, but we need to avail ourselves of it. Because if we end up there, it was because of our own choice. And so as we look at the scripture that we read here this morning in Matthew 26, we see here that the communion was instituted by Christ himself. And one aspect of that is that it is to be a commemorative sign, something to look back and to remember by. Jesus was about to go to the cross and to suffer and to die for sins that he never committed. He was sinless. He passed all the tests when Satan came to him, and throughout his life, the rejection, the injustices, the temptations that came to him, he survived and he passed them all. He was without sin. And we have that acknowledged so many times throughout his trial, that there is no fault in this man, this just man who has done nothing wrong. And so in order that this greatest event in the history of mankind should never be forgotten, Jesus took that bread and he broke it as a token of his body given for mankind. And he poured out the wine in a token of his blood shed for us. And he expressly commanded that we are to follow through with this ceremony and to continue to observe it until he comes again in remembrance of him. It was to be a showing forth of his death till he should come. And so it says, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you to show the Lord's death till he come. And so that's what we're here for this morning. Special privilege to commemorate his death again and his suffering, the price of our redemption. And so that this commemorative sign was to be made known to all future generations. God's wonderful provision. And here again we find that even in the Passover ceremony, which was only a type and a shadow of the real, he says this in Exodus chapter 12, verse 23. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass, when ye come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed the head and worshipped. And so that's why we're here this morning. And in that sense also, as we again rehearse this is a teaching opportunity for those who are coming up. And it's also an opportunity for us to bow our heads and worship. The redemption of mankind was the subject of a covenant entered into between God the Father and his Son. And as we read there in Isaiah 53, the Son was to make his soul an offering for sin. And the Father, that when this should be accomplished, that his Son should see a seed who should prolong their days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands, yea, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. So there was something in this. For the joy that was set before him, Jesus endured the cross and despised the shame. And so there was a promise, there was a covenant. And as Christ went to the cross there, God's holiness and his justice was satisfied. The pronouncement of sin, which was death, Jesus took it on himself. And so God's mercy can be extended to us. By the shedding of Christ's blood, this covenant was ratified, just like in the Old Testament when the law was read to the people. And they said, all the things that God has said, we will do and be obedient. That was their part of the covenant. And the Bible says that half the blood of the sacrifice was sprinkled on the people and half of it was sprinkled on the law. That was a covenant that was sealed with the blood of animals. We have a covenant today that has been sealed, the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you, that has been sealed with the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, on our behalf. And so what we are here for this morning is to continue this memorial. Jesus has done his part. Everything has been accomplished for our salvation. And for those who will believe on him, I'd just like to read a few verses from John chapter 3. You'll recognize this as Jesus' conversation there with Nicodemus when he was talking about God's provision for those who believe. Nicodemus was struggling with this, and Jesus made it plain to him, as he makes it plain to us through these words. John 3:14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now these words have become so familiar to us that perhaps we just kind of skim over them. We know what it says. But I think this morning, God wants us to allow these words to sink into our heart. Think about what he says here. That whosoever believeth him in him should not perish. What is it to perish? Now, everybody who's ever been born since Adam and Eve has the sentence of death. And there's only one hope to have that sentence of death removed, and that is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ with all our heart. And maybe we can enlarge on that a little more. And I would just like to say at this point that if there's anyone here who has not made that decision, or who has not made that commitment, don't put it off. It is of utmost importance. We cannot overemphasize it. This cup was the New Testament in his blood. A new covenant that was ratified and sealed by the blood of Jesus. Okay, that's the commemorative sign. Now, we want to look at it also as an instructive emblem. The killing of the Passover lamb was not sufficient for the salvation of the Israelites. The applying of the blood on the doorposts was not sufficient. And talking about, maybe enlarging a little on what Brother Roger was saying this morning, God gave specific instruction to the people that they must feed on it, they must eat it, and how they must eat it in order for it to finally have the effect. And I think that the type in this is that they were getting ready for a journey. They were going to leave that night, and they were going to head out of Egypt, and they were going to go on a journey. And they didn't realize it at that time, but it was going to be a long journey. And it was going to be a difficult one. And it was going to be a journey where there were many enemies, many efforts to destroy them, both physically and spiritually. And in a sense, I believe that meat of the Passover lamb was to give them the strength for the journey. that they were going to start on that night. We also are on a journey, a spiritual journey. So neither is the breaking of the bread and the pouring out of the wine in which we commemorate the death of Christ sufficient totally to fulfill this ordinance that we're observing today. If it were, or if we would stop it there, it could almost become idolatry to us, just like the brass serpent. People began to worship the serpent, the one that had they looked to for deliverance or for the healing from the bite of the serpent. They finally had to destroy it because people were worshiping the serpent. And the significance of the communion does not stop with the symbols. But we are asked to eat it as well. And when we eat something, it becomes a part of our life. It becomes a part of the energy that we live on. And so there's even something deeper than the commemoration of the death and suffering of Christ. It's the strength for the journey. The Bible says that we're to take on on the image of Christ and to become, when people see us, that they can see Jesus. So we have to apply the teachings that he taught. And it's like Roger was saying this morning, we become in Christ and out of sin. It's not something that we can continue in sin because we sin every day and the blood of Jesus Christ covers those sins. But we go into a life of victory. And if we sin, he says, I write these things to you that you sin not. But if you sin, then we have an advocate with the Father. But we don't plan to sin. And we don't excuse sin when we do. But we repent of it. And then the blood of Jesus cleanses us. Eat the bread and drink the cup, Jesus says. And so it is an instructive ordinance. And then, going back to to the scripture that I kind of wanted to use as the text for the message, the last, the verse 29, there in Matthew 26, where he says, I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. It's easy for us to think of that as a future event. You know, the time when we get to heaven, and I want to talk about that a little at the end, that when we will all be together there for that commemorative supper. But I think Jesus had a lot more in mind than that. And probably I'm just discovering some of the things that were there all along. But when the Lord said that he would no more drink of the fruit of the vine till he drink it new with his disciples in the kingdom of God, he was, I think, referring to some period when he would again hold communion with them in this ordinance. And we know that in his lifetime, in the time, the 40 days after his resurrection, that we don't have any record that he received or shared in communion with his disciples in that way, although he did eat with them, I think to just show that he had a real body. But not in this ordinance of communion. So what was he talking about? He says, I will drink it new with you again in my Father's kingdom. But when did the kingdom, when was it initiated? When he began to preach, he said, the kingdom of God is at hand. And in a number of places, it says that he preached the message of the kingdom. I think the kingdom was finally, truly established when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, and the church was began. And it says that they went from house to house daily and broke bread. They were having communion. Jesus says that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there will I be in the midst of them. There are more than two or three here this morning. We're here in the name of Jesus. Is he here? I trust he is. I hope he is. Not in a bodily form that we can see, but he's here. And he says, I will not drink it with you until I drink it new in the kingdom. And so, is he here this morning? Eating and drinking or observing as we receive these emblems in commemoration of his death and suffering. He says, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So I believe in that sense that he is here. when Jesus was teaching his disciples to pray, he said, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So what was he talking about? Where was this kingdom going to be? Well, it starts in earth and it ends up in heaven. And so we're still on earth, and so we're part of the kingdom. I trust we are. And I think Jesus is drinking it new with us again this morning in a spiritual sense. The scriptures, both of the Old and New Testament, continually represent the Christian dispensation as the establishment of the Messiah's kingdom on earth. And in the book of Daniel, it calls it an everlasting kingdom. Now the time has come to consider some of the personal aspects of his presence here. We don't believe in transubstantiation, that the bread and the wine actually turn into the actual body and blood of the Lord. We don't believe that. And yet there are some aspects of that symbolize his personal presence in our lives. Maybe I could just read a few scriptures from from the Bible here. In John chapter 14, this was just before the Lord's Supper, or it was actually after the Lord's Supper had been instituted, and he was continuing his teaching with the disciples. In John 14, verse 21, he says, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." He will manifest himself to those who keep his commandments, who love him enough to apply his teachings. He manifests himself to them. And then down in verse 23, he says, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." He's talking about a relationship here that goes beyond just formality. But he's talking about something like where he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and will open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." He is waiting for that invitation. He desires that fellowship. But when he comes to our table and he sups with us, we are serving him. We are preparing that table for his pleasure. And as long as we're here on this earth, that's the way it is. We serve him because we love him. We desire his presence. We have lots of reasons for wanting to be close to him. But he is coming into our house, and he's sitting at our table, and he's fellowshipping with us. The time is going to come when that will be reversed. And so I believe that then we move on into the eternal world, that which we haven't yet experienced and that which we haven't yet seen, that which the Bible tells us that there's a time coming when we shall see him with our eyes. And then this whole mystery of redemption is going to be complete. Then will the kingdom of the Messiah, which is now established on the earth, be delivered up to God. And I'm going to turn to a scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 to support this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 24. He is talking here in this scripture about the brevity of life, and death and life, and finally our union with the Lord forever. It says, but in verse 24, 1 Corinthians 15, 24, "Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God." Okay, so Jesus is now building that kingdom. But the day is going to come when he will deliver that kingdom up to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. And then down in verse 28, "And when all these things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all." A wonderful God we serve, who has had a wonderful plan for the redemption of the human race. And so, what was he talking about when he said, "I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel"? Now, Luke chapter 22 is a scripture that I often turn to at communion time. Luke 22 is where Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper there in the Gospel of Luke. And so after he has instituted the Lord's Supper, he gives us these words in verse 29. And I appointed unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. That's, I think, a future event that we look to. And as I said, for those who invite the Lord to sit at their table, as we serve him, and as we give him the pleasure of our devotion and our service and our worship, the time is coming when we will sit at his table and he will serve us. Maybe I should just look at another scripture here in Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, verse 11. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. And not only with Isaac, with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, but according to what he says in the book of Revelation, it will be with all the redeemed of all the earth, every kindred, tongue, and nation. And so, that is the place where that new song is going to be sung, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." This is found in Revelation chapter 5, verses 9. That book that no one was worthy to open and no one was able to open. And finally, it was given to that lamb that was slain, and he was worthy to open the book. That book is the message of the gospel. That book has been opened and has been made available to us by the sacrifice of Jesus, that lamb that was slain. The mystery that was hid, but has now been revealed. And in Revelation 15, verse 3, it talks there about the song of Moses and the Lamb. The song of Moses was that which was sung after they crossed the Red Sea, and their enemy was destroyed, and they were now on the other side of the Red Sea. They had been delivered. We also will sing the song of the Lamb, that song of deliverance, once we get on the other side. The Lord is going to be there, the very Lamb of God himself, who is in the midst of the throne, will feed us and lead us unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from our eyes. Revelation 7:17. And just as he broke the bread and poured out the wine with his disciples there on earth, so will he at the feast in heaven. The Bible says he will gird himself and make us sit down to meat, and himself shall come forth and serve us. Maybe I should read that scripture in Luke chapter 12. It's hard for us to imagine the reality of this tremendous event. Luke chapter 12. verse 37, but this is what Jesus himself says. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good men of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and have not have suffered the house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. I think this is a message that comes through clearly in the scriptures that deal with the Lord's Supper and the communion. And that is that we are prepared, that we don't eat and drink unworthily, but that we are prepared, that we are watching, we are ready, so that we also can then finally do as he said there, sit down to meat, and he will come forth and serve us. And so, when is that going to be? We don't know, but we believe it will be soon. It will be sooner than it was yesterday, and certainly sooner than it was when these scriptures were written. That we'll be called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Let's make sure that we have that wedding garment. Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of our God. Let's anticipate this wonderful day. Let it be the greatest desire now to have that wedding garment. If we don't have it, to get it, that we can qualify to be acceptable guests at his table. In this world, it is our privilege to keep the feast from time to time. And I believe the more often and completely that we feed on Jesus today and eat with him, the better we're going to be prepared to sit with him at that heavenly feast. He must be invited to the feast with you at your table now, as you serve him, if you are to enjoy sitting at his table in the eternal world as he serves you with his rewards.